Good evening. Certainly good to have each one out tonight to worship the Lord. We're going to be in James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18 tonight. The title of the lesson is Abundant Answers to Man's Problems. First of all, there's healing for physical illnesses and there's healing for sinfulness. In James chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, he talks about the physical illness. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. So when Christians are suffering, there is a place to go. I mean, you're not just left to deal with your problem on your own. You're encouraged to pray, to get God involved, and He will. If you're cheerful, then you need to be thankful, thankful, thankful. You could be suffering like other people. You need to be singing praises to the Lord and giving Him glory. When you're suffering, you need to lean on Him. In verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Everybody gets carried away with the anointing of oil part. And, you know, if you're really sick, then you call the elders and we'll explain why in a minute. I mean, if you need somebody praying for you that you think can get through, then the elders are the people who are the righteous people in most cases. And so they'll come and they'll pray over him. And it says anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does anointing him with oil mean? Well, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. Just some thoughts on anointing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. And he's talking about fasting in verse 16. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So he's talking about people who are they're making a show of their fasting. We're talking about appearances here. And he says, knock that off. What does he want them to do? Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Cosmetics. You know, don't put on the sackcloth and the ashes and pretend how gloomy you are. It's the opposite when you anoint yourself with oil here. In this case, it's about cosmetics. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus has been invited to the Pharisee's house. And this woman comes in and, you know, she's obviously a sinner and she breaks an expensive perfume. And in Luke 7:37, and behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Verse 38, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, this is perfume and not oil, but the point is what? This is a joyous occasion. She's found in Jesus an answer to her sin problem, and she's not bashful about spending expensive perfume and anointing his feet. Now notice the difference. Jesus starts talking to the Pharisee, the difference between the Pharisee and her, verse 46. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. I mean, she went down to the feet and did it where head is part of appearances. It's part of refreshment. When he comes into Simon's house, what? Simon didn't do anything for him. And look at this woman down on her knees anointing his feet. So it can be used for appearances. It can be used for cosmetics. And it can be used here in this case in this way. Look at Leviticus chapter 14, the Old Testament. And this is probably the closest to where we're at in James 5. The leper somehow, by the grace of God, ends up cleansed. Now, he's been an outcast at this point. So, since the priest is going to have to come check, see if he is really cleansed. And then they're going to offer the certain offerings. And then on the eighth day, verse 15, the priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it into his left palm. A log is a pint. And he's going to take some of that oil out. And verse 16, the priest shall then dip his right finger into the oil that is in his left palm,
and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil seven times before the Lord. And so we're trying to get this fellow back in fellowship with God. He's had a physical problem that made him an outcast. So we're sprinkling the oil toward the Lord. Verse 17, and of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering. 18, and while the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. And so not only are we getting back in fellowship through cleansing ceremony, but we're also making atonement for sins. That's going to be important here in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. The oil doesn't have anything to do with healing. They put oil on animals to help the wounds heal. It has nothing to do with that here. It's the prayer offered in faith that will do the healing. You're asking God to heal. 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So if he's going to be healed, the Lord's going to do it. It's going to be as in response to the prayer of the people of faith. You notice the end of verse 15? And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. That's the same as Leviticus 14. We're solving both problems here. I mean, you call for the elders to help you with your sick problem, and we're just going to take care of all your problems right here. Because you showed faith in calling for the elders, so the sins will be forgiven too. And so, same type of thing. Second point tonight is the healing of sinfulness in verse 16 through 18. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now you've got to remember the book of James. There, confess your sins one to another. In the 1970s, they used this in the Boston movement, the previous movement, Gainesville before that, to control people's lives. You confess your sins to everybody, to your prayer partner, and they held them over your head the rest of the time. But the reason he says confess your sins one to another here, James chapter 2, your faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my work. He's challenged them because that's what they believe. Chapter 3, tongues. It's an evil thing. And by the way, you people, I mean, you're saying you're going to do this, you're going to do that tomorrow. How do you know you're going to be here tomorrow? Why don't you say if the Lord wills? So there's some problems in the early church here. And then you got James 5, and the rich people who are members of the church aren't paying the laborers. And the Lord's coming, and he's at the door. That's why he says, confess your sins one to another. Why would you want to do that? Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You need to go find a righteous person praying for you is what he's saying. You need to confess them back and forth so we find somebody that the Lord's going to listen to. He says in 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God doesn't listen to the unrighteous. They can pray all they want. They can pray for you all they want, but God's not listening. But you know, if they pray in the right way, according to the will of God, 1 John 5, 13 following, guess what? The Lord will listen. If they're righteous, and that prayer can accomplish much. Why do you call for the elders? Because we want a righteous man praying for us when we're really, really sick. And so, well, what is the power of prayer, verse 17 and 18? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He's just another man. He might have been a prophet, but it was a man appealing to God that it doesn't rain on Israel. And for 42 months it doesn't rain. I think that's a powerful prayer that's answered. And it's negative for Israel. But I mean, they've been treating him to where he thinks there's nobody alive is on the Lord's side except him. And so the Lord agreed with him that there's not many righteous people there, but he was righteous. And the Lord responded. And James is using this as an illustration. Verse 18, he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. One man having that much control because God's listening to him. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13 in the Old Testament. Oh, King Jeroboam. You know, he's evil, and God is talking about his son, how his son will sacrifice people on the altar, and the altar's going to split apart. Jeroboam didn't like that prophecy. So 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 4. Now it came about when the king heard the saying of the man of God, when he cried against the altar in Bethel. And that's one of those places they set up to worship God falsely. That Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. But his hand which he stretched out against him dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. Wrong plan. I mean, this is an evil time, evil people. And you're going to kill the messenger of God? Well, that's good. You would think, rethink that. Verse 5, and the altar also was split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God's given by the word of the Lord. Verse 6, and the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God. We need a righteous man praying for us now, because we're already got a withered hand, and no telling what consequences are following. He needs somebody to pray for him, because he's not going to be listened to. And the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. I mean, that's what you want in healing. You want things to go back to normal. Well, this guy, it was his fault it got that way, but guess what? You get a righteous man to pray for you, yeah, things can change. They can come normal real quick. You know, so the power of prayer. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Now, Abraham lied a couple of times, or got his wife to lie, because he's afraid that Abimelech in Egypt was going to kill him. And he does it again, and Abimelech's wife takes his wife. And God shows him a dream, you know, in verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. Now, he's not a perfect prophet, but he's a prophet. And he'll pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. It's amazing how these heathen rulers get the message. They're believers. I mean, he sees a dream. That's all he sees, that this woman you have is his wife, and if you don't restore, you're going to die. And he don't have no problem, you know, giving it back. Verse 17, and Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God stepped in on that deal. And he wasn't going to benefit from that. And you know what? Abraham prays for him. God listens. Restores things again. Look at Acts chapter 8. Remember Simon the sorcerer. Well, Simon, he was a crook and was known as the great power of God. And after he became a Christian, he kind of had all those same old self tendencies. You know, and he wants to buy the ability to pass on the Holy Spirit. And you know, he wanted that authority. In verse 20, Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Here's a new Christian. Just doing what you think. It's going fair. We're going to pay. We'll pay for it. We'll pay whatever it is to get the franchise. Yeah. But may your silver and gold perish with you. Oh, he's a believer in that. Well, however Peter said it or what, he has no doubt that ring is true. In verse 22, Peter says, therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Now, he can go before God. Peter recognized that. Now, this is a serious crime. And, you know, and it's one of those you've got to go forth honestly and spell it all out that you want forgiveness, but he can pray to God himself. But because he believes the seriousness of the charge and the consequences of the punishment coming, he has a plan. Verse 24. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you've said may come upon me. I mean, I need a righteous man to pray for me. I don't want any of these consequences. I need somebody God will listen to. He's acknowledged. He's showing his repentant heart. He's acknowledging how wrong. It was normal for him, but it was wicked. What are you up to? Why are you scheming here, trying to get control of this thing where everybody looks up to you rather than Christ? May your silver and gold perish with you. You know, what are you going to do when you realize how wrong you are, Saul of Tarsus? I mean, but there was a way out. He could pray, but he didn't think he was righteous enough in this case. And sometimes that's the way we are. God will still listen to us because our normal practice is to do the good and right thing. But then sometimes we feel so guilty about it that we don't think he'll listen to us. Well, then you go get a righteous person who will pray for you. And that'll do the job. You know, Jesus, he always did what was right. He never had a sin problem. He knows how to overcome sin. No matter what temptation comes, he can help us there. He also died for the sins of the world. Yeah, he's righteous. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, because of the death of Jesus, God will do the right thing if we show our faith in him when we're wrong, when we're guilty. And he'd respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing. Thank you.